Awkwardly, Tawny Pelt stepped forward and pressed her muzzle against Squirrelpaw's side. "I think we've all had bad dreams," she meowed. "Ever since Feathertail." Squirrelpaw nodded. Like all of them, she found it hard to believe that they would never see Feathertail again. The tribe cats had helped them to bury her beside the pool where the waterfall fell endlessly, churning up spray that made the ground soft enough to dig. "She has a place of honor here," Stone Teller had meowed. "We'll keep her memory alive for as long as our tribe survives." That had been small comfort for the clan cats. Crowpaw in particular was shattered by grief, spending all the next day crouched beside Feathertail's grave. Stormfur kept vigil with him, racked by guilt that he had done nothing to save Feathertail, and had not even imagined that she might be the chosen cat. Her silver fur had been slicked black with water when they first emerged from the waterfall, which is why the tribe cats hadn't paid any attention to her. My name is Spencer Grant, and you're listening to Four Trees, a Warrior Cats community podcast. Last week, I was joined by my friend Chris St. George to discuss the book Moonrise. We talked about how Leopard Star was going through a thing, how dumb all of Shadow Clan's leaders have been for the last little while, and of course, how disappointed we are by the tribe. So if you're interested in that discussion and you haven't heard it already, I'd suggest listening to that one before listening to this one, just so you may have a better idea of what we're on about and catch any jokes or references we started in the previous episode. I'm gonna get going now, so enjoy. Bye! Wait, no, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that till the end of the episode. Look, I'm sorry. That's just... Man, I can't get anything right today, can I? All right. What kind of cat would you be?
Probably Wind Clan.
All right. What's like your warrior name?
I'm constantly starving. warrior, I don't know. See if you can come up with something for me. I haven't done something like that for a long time.
Hold on, I want to say Mountain Dew, but I know that's not it.
That's the... Yo, why haven't we had a warrior named Mountain Dew yet? We can do the Dew.
If you want to do the Dew.
Yeah, sure, call me Mountain Dew.
All right, this is Mountain Dew of Wind Clan.
Of course.
I love thinking, like, so many... I think this is one of the big points in the favor of warrior cats is that, like, so many of these names are just fun, right? Like, it's yeah. A lot of fun to think about them.
Yeah, I remember, like, I feel like warrior cats has had, like, a big impact on me as a person.
Yeah?
Because, like, I didn't bring this up. Warrior Cats was the first, like, proper book series I ever read.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it had a big impact on me. It's probably why I'm a writer now. When I was like 6 years old or so, I think, I picked up this book that was sitting by the windowsill. Because I was like, you know, super big into cats, so I saw this like orange cat on the cover. And at the time, we had an orange tabby cat. His name was Sunny. So I was like, orange cat, ooh, shiny. So I picked up Into the Wild, and I read it. So I was like, oh, this is pretty good. I should check to see if I can find the rest of these in my brother's room. My brother had the third book, not the second, and no others.
Did you read the third one, or did you go to like the library? And
I frequented the library at that point. I have been an avid reader for a very long time, so I eventually picked up the second, and I kind of ate through the first arc. I was until I was waiting for the final hour to come out, or the darkest hour to come out.
Wow! I
have old school warrior cats clout.
That is impressive.
Then of course I did as everyone does when they're a fan of warrior cats at that age, and I roleplayed. of course.
Atta girl.
That's my relationship with warrior cats.
That makes sense. Now I assume that role playing is kind of what got you into writing and telling your own stories to an extent.
Very much actually, yeah. Collaborative storytelling became like a big part of
mm-hmm.
big part of what I like. I still roleplay occasionally because, you know, I'm not proud. But it's just generally, you know, Warrior Cats was a big influence on me. And it's probably why I exist as a writer.
Really cool to hear. Do you think that, like, currently you're working on a video game called Chroma Bloom and Blight.
I am, yes.
Do you do much collaborative writing in the form of role-playing on that? Or is it...
I don't role-play on that, but I do collaborative writing on that. But
right. How so?
I'm not the only writer, so I collaborate with writing.
Did you ever role-play on, like, the forums, or was it mostly, like, playground stuff?
I did both.
Nice.
Yeah, you gotta be on the playground pretending you're a warrior cat.
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, it was the best. God, I kind of missed those days. I was, I mean, like, we were all stupid, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, kids are stupid, but, you know, it was a fun time.
Yeah.
I'll have you know I was the clan leader.
That is very impressive. I would usually give up that post for somebody else, because I didn't want to be the one in charge, even though I did. Like, a little.
Yeah.
I always felt it was more compelling to, like, be a warrior that was, like, en route to clan leader as opposed to already being the leader.
Well, you know, I was a warrior en route to clan leader until I became a leader. Because one of the people that we were playing with on the playground decided he was too old for warrior cats.
Disgusting.
So I became leader because I was deputy at the time.
How would you feel
we had a whole hierarchy? It was terrible.
Oh, how do you think your kid self would feel if they knew that you were like, you know, 24 or something like that?
22. My kid self would look at me with like that would somehow look like climb up on top of like a bin,
mm-hmm.
Look down at me and just say, disgusting in the most condescending voice possible. Kitty pet. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember much of it. I think I memorized like literally all of like the leader ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty bad.
Atta girl, man. Sorry. I wish that I had the warrior cat's clout like that. I just remember mildly taking over the local YMCA after school program so we could do that. I need to find a way to like accrue more of that so that we can get guests that aren't just my friends on Four Trees. Because I'm running out of friends, let's be real.
There will be too like many friends.
How do you feel about Crowpaw in this book? Because you seem to have... You didn't mince words.
I have so many thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
In this book, I don't mind him.
Okay.
I don't like him. He's abrasive to the point of being, like, overdramatic. But it's like, it kind of makes sense. He's got, like, pride to prove, an apprentice on this.
I feel to some extent he, like, gets kind of an unfair shake, like, it's within like, but the it's, context
yeah.
of this.
I mean, like, with, like, the whole Feathertail thing,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of sad for... It's sad for Crowpaw.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah, but it's sad for Crowpaw. It's later on in the series when I really start despising this cat. Oh my god.
Would you piss at him if you saw him in the street?
Would I what?
If you saw Crowpaw in the street, would you go up and go like
pss, pss? I'd go pss, pss to Crowpaw. Later on, I would go pss, pss and then kick him.
Okay.
When he came up to me. Crowpaw's fine. It's what he grows up into that is not fine. Spoiler alert, he doesn't die like Feathertail.
I feel like had he been given the chance to grow up in WindClan, he might have been able to, like, mature into this fine young adult.
Yeah, maybe he could have become the next Tallstar, who knows?
Yeah, within the, like, group dynamics of the Prophecy Cats, his attitude at the beginning, in a way, defined his relationship with everybody around him. And, like, subsequently kind of trapped him in this, like, heuristic where the other cats just assume that he means ill, and he assumes the other cats dislike him as well. Feathertail, like, eventually accepted.
And then Feathertail immediately dies.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Like, the theme, again, everything sucks for everyone.
Yeah.
There is not a single cat that is having a good time in this book, except maybe Hawkfrost.
Well, Stormfur meets his new wife, so.
Well, yeah, but also his sister dies.
That's true. I honestly
no one is having a good time.
Yeah, I feel bad for Crowpaw, I want to say.
Yeah, I feel bad for Crowpaw. I don't feel bad for him later on.
How did you, do you remember, like, early on in the book where Midnight and Purdy were, like, having their cat badger fight?
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And Purdy was like, no, if you go to the mountains, there's, like...
Purdy knows. They all know.
Yeah,
But, like, Okay, so here's my thought, right? So Midnight can talk to Starkling.
Yes, and so maybe Midnight's ancestors.
Yeah. Maybe Midnight can talk to the Tribe of Endless Hunting, they're called, I think?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Midnight's like, oh, y'all need a silver cat, stares at Feathertail.
I think she's staring at Stormfur.
Stares at Stormfur, the gray one.
I think that it was just kind of funny to me. Like, Midnight could have told them, but
you know, yeah, Midnight strikes me as like a character that really should get more rep in the series.
Yeah,
like Midnight is a super cool character. Like,
she's got a very interesting thing going on. The fact
she's she's a badger that can talk to the cat warrior ancestors.
Yeah,
whoa,
like
that has import.
And she can talk to like foxes and stuff too. That was really interesting.
Imagine just bringing Midnight to ThunderClan.
I think the idea is like she kind of works on StarClan rules. Like she can't say too much, otherwise it'll ruin the intrigue. If we have Midnight around, if we say too much stuff about her and accidentally reveal that she's like as old as the universe and is a ghost or something like that.
You know, she's actually Blue Star reincarnated. That's bad.
Oh man, if only she was Blue Star reincarnated.
Man, if only she was Blue Star. If only Blue Star was still Blue Star would whip this into shape.
Blue Star absolutely would. You're right. Like the old leader.
Like we were having a discussion about like the old generation of leaders, like Blue Star, Ragged Star until Broken Tail was a thing, Tall Star, Crooked Star, like the old warriors leaders would like whip all this into shape.
Absolutely.
They like the new generation of leaders are like the whiniest little brats. Like Black Star is being petty.
Mm-hmm.
Firestar is a whiffling, waffling coward most of the time.
Yeah, he ever since he did not take the demotion to side character well.
No, he did not. Tallstar is the last remaining actual leader in the forest, but he's starving now and his entire clan is dying.
Yeah.
And Leopardstar is even pettier than Blackstar.
She's so petty that she stops existing in this book just so that we can spend more time with Hawkfrost and Mothwing.
Hawkfrost is more important.
Basically, yeah.
Like, all the leaders except Tallstar are just awful. And now Tallstar is awful. Now Tallstar is also awful. Because he's starving and everyone in his clan is dying because their main food source is now poisoned, like we're back in Watership Down.
Yeah. It is just a complete tragedy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. Like, God.
Just
you know,
put these cats out of their misery.
The Tribe of Rushing Water can use guns. Why don't they come to the forest?
Exactly.
And see Two Legs out.
Just
shoot him. You think Midnight can talk to Two Legs?
I think that no way, right? Like
it makes you wonder though.
Yeah.
Like she can talk to like is there any other like character in the series that we see able to talk to another just like that?
I don't think so. I mean, one of the cats can like understand Leg. Like Princess dogs, Princess noted that the Two Legs were looking for something.
But I don't like she says they're looking for something, but that could have been just like they're like scavenging around the forest and she's like, "Oh, they're looking for something."
Yeah.
We never see anyone else actually like speak the language of another. So can
a lot of it has to do with voice boxes, right? Like foxes and cats probably have similar voice boxes.
What about foxes and badgers?
Yeah, that's another question. Badgers are like what, Mistilidae? And I don't know where the common ancestor would be insofar as badgers and foxes.
It really makes you wonder whether or not Midnight could actually talk.
I would think that badgers would not have like the vocal like chops that like humans would have, right?
Well, do you think she could write?
Yes, I do think that she could write.
So maybe she could like write messages to the Two Legs, like get the hell out of the forest. You
I don't
nerds.
Know if they would listen to that. I think it might well, like the best case scenario is we'd get like a Charlotte's Pig situation.
Okay, yeah, you have a point. They probably wouldn't listen. But at least she could.
Yeah, I think that
okay.
Manipulate stocks.
We Two Legs. We have this weird affixation with things that are sapient and sentient.
Mm-hmm. We want to know we're not the only ones out there.
If we knew that we are screwing up some actual like sapient creatures' lives, I don't know. We might do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like only on this, if it's on this like local enough level, I think that's plausible. If it was like on an international scale. definitely not.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't think it is on an international
It's not.
Scale.
They're just tearing down like a little
They're just
glen,
tearing
basically.
Down. Yeah, rest in peace, Druid's Hollow, I guess.
I'm going to have to find something new to name the podcast. I am upset about the like lack of leadership in these books. Like the Shadow Clan was really just like about to fight a patrol with both medicine cats.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Like we get it. They're going hungry. Everyone's going hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously,
just out the window.
Like that is in fact both medicine cats. When the other medicine cat is also there.
Yeah.
And is saying, "Hey, please stop. They're right." Holy God! They don't know what Blackstar is. Such an incompetent fool.
The culture of Shadow Clan definitely needs like some rewriting from the bottom up. Honestly, I'm starting to think that like Tawny Pelt might be too good for them.
Yeah, I don't know. Tawny Pelt's pretty solid. Graystripe is easily far too good for them. Graystripe's too good for everyone.
Yeah.
If this entire if the clans were nothing but Graystripe as leader, Graystripe as deputy, Graystripe as warriors, and another Graystripe as the medicine cat on all four clans.
I don't think that Graystripe would be smart enough to be the medicine cat.
Well, no. You see, the issue that
Yellow Fang.
The thing would be everyone would be banging everyone.
That's true.
So there wouldn't be clan divides.
That's also true. I honestly, like, it's books like these that make me think, why do they persist in, like, the clan divide, like, kind
yeah.
of thing? Like, I have a crack theory that, like, the end game is gonna be, like, all of the clans are gonna get together and stop having race wars all the time. But also, I know if they do that, then they're gonna have to stop making these books, so it's probably never gonna happen.
You'd think that the race war aspect wouldn't be... like what they keep after all the absolute garbage they go through in this book. But you know, sometimes you just gotta have, you know, race wars.
Like, but the entire time while like Feathertail is trying to justify her relationship with Crowpaw, she's like, well, I feel like, you know, the fact that all the clans are going through some really harsh stuff right now would make it more likely for interclan relationships to be acceptable. And then, like, we get back and they're handling this in the dumbest way possible.
Yeah, like, there's one major interclan relationship in The Power of Three that I can really remember, and it's the worst relationship in the history of these books forever. Like, God, it is such absolute hot garbage.
I kind of love the hot mess of the interclan relationship, because like nothing exemplifies how inherently silly these books are more than that.
Yeah, you have a point, but this one is just like
some of them do get frustrating.
This one in particular, I just don't like it. I don't like anything about it.
I will tell you, as much as I love Graystripe and everything that he does and all that he is, it was, like, when I look back on how he acted in the book in, like, Forest of Secrets, where he starts getting with Silverstream, I do get, like, kind of angry at him.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well,
abandoning he's basically abandoning his apprentice.
Yeah, I mean, like, we call like, Firestar our Bi Himbo King, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're talking about any himbo in the Warrior Cats, it's Graystripe.
Yeah.
Graystripe is a stupid, stupid man.
He is. He's really dumb. He needs to think more.
But that's why we love him.
Yeah.
Like, he's a dumb, horny, like, brave boy, and we love him for it.
Yeah. I will say, like, another... The way that they write for these forbidden romances always comes off, like, really strangely. Because, like, a lot of times the protagonist, like, unless the protagonist is in love with one of the people who are having a forbidden romance, it always feels like they are in love. Because, like, when I was reading about Firestar being crossed about Graystripe and Silverstream, I was like, oh, he's jealous. And, like, every time he mentioned how much he missed, you know, Graystripe's scent in ThunderClan, I'm like, oh, he's in love.
Like,
but then when
if there wasn't obligate heterosexuality in these books, you know that Firestar and Graystripe would have gotten together a long time ago.
I feel like Graystripe was definitely straight and Firestar is bi but doesn't know it. That's like where I stand on that. And if it weren't for compulsive heterosexuality, but like when you come from like that being your one model of what a platonic like jealousy looks like, you know, where it's like it does such a bad job of like coming
off
as platonic.
I miss their scent.
Yeah. And then, like, when Storm, when we get to this point where Stormfur catches Feathertail looking at Crowpaw, and it just explodes in this flurry of thoughts of, like, no way, that's not allowed. And it's like, wait, hold on, are you jealous about your sister dating somebody else? Because, like, you know,
oh,
you're not
boy.
Allowed to
that's,
date
that's
her,
not,
right?
Let's not get into that. Are there any situations like that in these books? I don't know.
I don't think so, but
I don't think so because they shy away from that.
At the very least, like, not with any of the main characters. To some extent, I think Dustpelt is his mate is his niece, but like also I think that's like,
well,
it's, like,
I mean,
once
it's,
or twice removed, and they're
I mean,
not
like,
main characters, so we don't notice.
Everyone in the clans are in. Like,
yeah,
this,
we don't have
like,
enough
like,
cats
you,
for
you,
like
you
proper genetic diversity.
But like somehow it works anyway, so we have.
Yeah. I also, insofar as Stormfur being horny all the time, I like, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's been some fandom drama insofar as a YouTuber called Moonkitty released a video about how much Brambleclaw sucks, and everybody who has just started rereading these books is like, oh yeah, he totally does. So, like, I was kind of keeping on the lookout for that in this one. And the only thing that I did really catch was, Brambleclaw does not have a personality, does he?
My thoughts on Brambleclaw in this book in particular is he does have a personality. So, it's not a huge one, but his personality is like, these idiots, please just get back to the forest.
That's fair.
He's just the most tired, aggravated man trying to keep everyone in line. His sister has this infected bite, won't rest on it, and he's just like, God,
now
just
there's a prophecy? Are you
stop.
Kidding me? We're already in the middle of one prophecy. That's fair.
Yeah, my opinion on Brambleclaw in this book, I like, okay, step back for a minute.
Yeah?
When I first read New Prophecy, right? Very first time I read it, it was immediately after. But, like, I read them as they were coming out. And, like, my immediate thought, because I was really young at the time, was, hey, where's Firestar? This sucks. But looking back on it now, as, like, yeah, of course you need to change the main character.
Too powerful now. He has too much, like, clout. If Firestar wanted anything done, it would be done.
Yeah, I find myself really liking Brambleclaw, just because he has so much garbage to put up with. And he never really snaps at it. Like Brambleclaw's the kind of person I imagine is, like, simmering with rage below the surface. But he's like, I can't snap at them. Stay calm, Brambleclaw. Stay calm. And that's the vibe that I have with, like, Brambleclaw seems like a cat way older than he is, just because he's trying to keep everyone in line.
And
he's got this whole thing going with Tiger Star.
How do you feel, like, about that kind of character archetype interacting with, like, Squirrel Paw, though?
I think,
because, like, that's uncomfortable to me.
You don't get it much in this book.
Yeah,
because
most
of this book is
to his inner monologue, thankfully.
Most of this book is centered, of course, on Stormfur and Feathertail.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a little old for her, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, okay, Bramble Boy, right? Bramble
yes.
Boy. He was an apprentice, and, like, a decent way into his apprenticeship during the events of Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
So it feels weird.
He became a warrior about, like, 3 seasons before Squirrel Kit was born.
You know what it reminds me of?
Yeah?
It reminds me of Dustpelt and Fernpaw.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this, almost like a weird grooming.
A little bit.
Except, like, Brambleclaw is, like, it's not actually grooming, because unlike Dustpelt being creepy, Brambleclaw isn't, like, trying to make moves on her.
I mean, I guess she just accidentally has nobody else to fall in love with, so she's like, well, I guess I gotta settle for him.
Yeah, I mean, like,
until
she,
I meet somebody
else. She's exuberant, and he's there, and he's the only ThunderClan cat that she actually knows. And he's just kind of like, God, Squirrel Paw, okay, I guess.
Fine. You know,
like,
he strikes me as
way more world-weary than anybody seasons his senior.
I really like that description of their initial relationship. You know, she's exuberant, he was there. Can I make it any more obvious?
It's like Scott.
You know, that classic relationship dynamic.
Oh, yeah, of course. The classic relationship dynamic of He's really grumpy, and she's way too young for him, but excited.
Mm, that's a, you know, you get real Giuliani
very
vibes.
Very wholesome.
I think that, like, in this monologue, Stormfur in this tell-all Stormfur memoir, he, like, reveals that he may have feelings for Squirrelpaw, but he doesn't want to have them, because, like, she's from another thing. And then the only reason he, like, eventually drops her is because he starts contextualizing her within, like, the realm of Brambleclaw, as if they, like, belong to each other. And, like, he does drop her for other reasons, probably because he realizes that he never had feelings for her, but was more interested in, like, the platonic ideal of having a girlfriend. But, like, I don't like that he's like, yeah, thank goodness I'm not interested in with her. Otherwise, I don't think I could be friends with Brambleclaw. Like, dude.
Also, Stormfur is just as old as Brambleclaw.
Yeah, he's like, he's older, isn't he?
Yeah, he was born when Silverstream died.
Yeah.
Like, he was born in book 3.
My dude.
And we are like 5 books later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my man.
Come on.
You can do better. There is a very eligible tribe bachelorette waiting for you.
Her name is Stream Where Small Silvers Swim, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
It's so frustrating. I see where you're coming from, is like Brambleclaw being likable in that sense. I think I was kind of primed to dislike him for obviously coming from your boy Firestar.
Who is like eminent, like the whole point of Firestar is that, like, hey, I'm likable. Like me.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
You should like me. I'm the only one with my head on straight in this entire forest. Like me.
I mean, I'd say there are other cats with their heads on straight in the forest. Cinderpaw definitely got there.
Okay,
Fang.
But Firestar is our point of view character in Dead.
That's true. I would say that, like,
rest in peace, by the way.
Yeah.
Best character in the entire series.
She is very good.
Next to Graystripe.
Yeah.
I think what we've established is that gray cats are always the best.
We really
Cinderpelt,
like gray cats.
Graystripe,
yeah.
Yellowfang,
mm-hmm.
Stormfur. Gray cats are the best cats. It's just how it works.
Yeah. Always.
And then
always
if they're not
prophecies.
And then if they're not gray, then they're tiger.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're not good.
I mean, now we've got, like, 3 main characters who are half Tiger Star, and...
Yeah, like, okay, Tiger Star really went at it.
Yeah. He's got that, you know, powerful Y-chromosome stuff going on. He's part traitor, immoral.
Yeah, like, it's always... The traitor with the Y-chromosome, it's always the traitor with the powerful Y-chromosome.
I guess.
Graystripe, Tiger Star... It's all that's right. They kind of get going.
Love him, though.
Of course. We do love Tiger Star. He's actually like Cat Hitler, but you know, he's still a great. No, we love him. For
if you saw him on the street?
Yeah, I'd hit him, and then I'd like pick him up, and I'd take him inside, and I'd make him a very comfortable kitty cat.
That's a good. You'd save us a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'd find Tiger Paw. Before he becomes actually like proto-fascist,
if I had a time machine, I would find Hitler before he becomes, you know, Hitler, and then I'd make him a very comfortable kitty pet.
Yeah, of course, because you know, like, what's his name? Thistleclaw.
Yeah,
is like actually the worst, like the secret background Stalin.
Thistleclaw is basically a huge cop.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, like, not nice. And he's the reason why Tiger became Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And now he, like... it's mentioned so many times throughout the main series. Like, yeah, Tiger Claw's a great fight. He could have been an excellent warrior and an excellent leader. But Thistleclaw got to him, and now he's a fascist.
Yeah. I mean, you have to wonder how much of that was Thistleclaw's fault, though.
Okay, yeah. You do have to wonder. Like, nature versus nurture. You have to wonder how much of Tiger Paw was actually, like, fascist waiting to uncover. But, you know, if he had a better mentor...
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like if Bluefur. Bluefur.
Yeah.
Yo, imagine if Bluefur was Tiger Paw's. Oh, that would have been dope, actually.
Sick, yeah.
He would have been a great war. Like he would have been the protagonist. He would have been the protagonist right there.
Wouldn't he wouldn't even need Rusty.
Yeah, like Rusty can stay being a very comfy kitty pet. You know, get his cutter. Because we don't need him at that point.
Hang out with Smudge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just chilling, you know, spend time with Princess. But no, no, we have to have Thistleclaw, you know, the worst.
He's just so bad.
Yeah.
Nobody had any taste in Blue Star's prophecy, let's be real.
Blue Star got the short end of every single stick in the
world. Her life was just straight downhill, like, basically.
Just like now. Like, this seems to be the way that Warriors goes. It's like, there's the protagonist, and then there's tragedy bingo. And then there's the protagonist, and then everyone's life sucks again. Like, when there's not a main character, everyone's life is awful.
The forest had, like, 4 months of utopia before it started getting destroyed. Like, Scourge was gone, and then, you know, we had
Firestar's
that
chilling.
Area. Firestar left to go do SkyClan for a bit.
Yeah, Graystripe was left as leader. Everything's cool.
Basically utopia.
Like, whenever the main character isn't there, everyone dies.
I guess that's just kind of how it has to be, like, right? Gotta keep generating books.
Yeah, you gotta keep generating books by killing everyone off. It really is Cat Game of Thrones.
No happy endings.
Because everyone dies.
I was thinking about that. Like, there was so much death in Blue Star's Prophecy, and I realized, like, oh yeah, it's because she has to have 9 cats dead by the time she's leader. Otherwise, you know, it won't mean anything to her.
Like, even in... outside of Blue Star's Prophecy, even in the first arc, like, I read these books as a kid, and I was just like, oh, the cats are gone.
Yes.
Like, reading these books again, my god, so many cats die.
And they're kitty cats. The books never pause to, like, detract from the fact that they are kitty cats who are deserving of love and beautiful creatures.
Yeah, like, and, like, they die in pretty horrible ways.
It's awful.
Like, oh god. I can't remember
White
who his name was.
There was the
who,
cat
was it
White Claw,
Swift?
Whose name makes me laugh all the time.
Was it Swiftpaw?
Swiftpaw, who gets eaten
by an adder and just dies horribly to poison?
No, Swiftpaw was mauled by dogs until dead. There was White Claw who gets pushed off of a cliff, and Greypool also gets pushed off of a cliff, and then gets her throat slashed open.
Yeah,
God, Tigerstar's death is just, like, actually brutal. To the point where, like, me and my friend Lily have jokes about it. These books are 100% violent, and I can't believe that I read these as a kid and turned out okay. Well, maybe I didn't turn out okay. I am making a Warrior Cats podcast.
Point is, I finally have a proper argument against someone out there making a call out post. Someone saying, "Oh, it was an American badger, so they're in America." Adders are British. Adders are not American.
Are we making fun of? Yeah, and Midnight is actually a European badger. It's been revealed as well.
And also, we're going back to, like, the very first pages of any of the books.
Mm-hmm.
You got the map. You got the map.
Yeah.
And on the map, see the two, like, names for these places. Fortree, it's called Druid's Hollow.
Yeah, I wonder where that could be. Wonder if there was any place that had, like, a culture that pertained to druids.
And the falls are called Druid's Leap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the falls that White Claw died in. rest in peace, White Claw.
These are not American names, for sure.
It's not American. Very much a British thing.
Thank you. I'm glad we can all agree that Clayton is wrong.
Yeah, Clayton is very much wrong. This is my call-out post.
Alright,
Clayton's being wrong.
Okay, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Four Trees. I would first of all love to thank Chris for being on this show and these latest slew of episodes. Thank you so much, Chris. It was a lot of fun to talk to you, and you were so enthusiastic that I actually didn't have to edit very much. So thank you for that as well. I'm really glad we can make it happen. Also, I would like to talk about, if you are interested in getting more into the Warrior Cats community, there is a charity streaming event coming up soon called Cat Meet 2020. Cat Meet is normally a real-life convention at the London MCM Comic Con Expo Center, but for obvious reasons, this year it is going virtual, and it will be held online. So if you're interested in that, please go on to Twitter and look up Cat Meet and stuff, because there's a lot of good resources there that can help you figure out what's going on and who to talk to if you want to get involved or if you want to watch it. It's going to be so good. There are some panels coming up on it that, like, I'm in, There's one pre-recorded panel that, like, me, Spencer, is in, so, like, I have to talk about it because it's going to be cool. And if you want to hear more about my thoughts about doing stuff like 3D and hear the thoughts of actual industry professionals about doing 3D, then that is definitely the place to go, because I think we had a really good conversation about how to get us a start in that and how we got our starts in that. So yeah, check out Cat Meat 2020. It's going to be real great. I'm not reading any copy right now. Can you tell? All right. Yeah. Let's also, if you're interested in music and things, I know I talked last week about the fact that I've started doing a little bit of Warrior Cats folk country music or whatever. And I would like to report that this is continuing to be a case. If you're interested in listening to some of that, well, I have great news. That's going to be replacing the outro song for this episode. So you'll have a chance to listen to it real quick. And if you want to hear some more, there are like two other songs on my channel right now that you can listen to and enjoy with your ears, if that's the kind of thing that you're into. In the interim period, thank you so much for listening to Four Trees, our Warrior Cats community podcast. I've been your host, Spencer Grant. I would like to thank our guest, Chris, for joining us for the last little while. You have been a pleasure to have. Four Trees is recorded live in front of a studio audience at Druids Hollow Studios here in Bristol. Our theme was composed and performed by Spencer Chopin Grant and mixed by Alex Turner. Our graphics and 3D assets were designed by Spencer Diablo Grant, and our editor is Spencer Pagliacci Grant. The Warrior Cat series is written by Aaron Hunter and distributed by HarperCollins. Please support the official release. You can find us at the web at spencergrant.co.uk/fourtrees or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find our YouTube uploads with auto-generated subtitles and audio visualizations. It's youtube.com/c/spencergrant. Again, I've been Spencer, and you've been beautiful. I'll play myself out now. Bye!
Six, seven, eight. Stronger than the deluge, quiescent in its